Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
And welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the loquacious Luke Cutford.
How fantastically complimentary of you.
This week, we're talking about praying away the gay and calling it therapy. But first, we have a wee YouTube comment. This one says, MTF here. Thank you so much for making this information more accessible to a general audience. A little understanding will go so far in making the world a better place to live. Smiley face.
That's so true, it will. And you're welcome.
Yeah, it feels weird saying you're welcome. Why don't we give ourselves a little pat on the back?
Oh, good work.
Look at this. Two cis men patting themselves in the back because one trans person complimented them.
That is genuinely some of my favorite episodes, though. Like, I find that.
When we pat ourselves on the back?
No, when we do trans stuff, I find it so interesting and so, like, heartwarming and lovely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is one of those things when people come up to me and talk about SciGuys because they've seen it and they enjoy it and they're saying hello to me at an event where I am to meet people. Sorry, I wanted to give that context. No, that's one of the things that people often bring up. You know, it's one of the things that's really touched me in meeting a lot of SciGuys fans is that the trans episodes really seem to help them out. And glad that this show can do something positive instead of just being two silly boys talking about science.
Yeah, I think everyone has stuff to learn from that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You especially. And the question for this week is, if you're on YouTube, by the way, you can answer this question down in the comments. And if you're not on YouTube, if you're on Apple or Spotify or, God forbid, Podchaser, is that a place? I have no idea.
Let us know if you are on Podchaser, by the way. Send us an email.
You can answer this question, yes, by sending us an email. But crucially, unsend the email as soon as you've sent it, and then print it out, and then find a Windows computer from, gosh, 20 years ago, staple that answer onto the front of that computer, and then put it in a dump. Luke will go there, and he'll see it, and he'll probably bring it home.
And use it for a music video.
And the question for you this week is, are you LGBT or Q? Or none, or multiple.
Let us know. Are ya?
Okay, this is becoming kind of like a hate crime.
It's an interrogation. Are ya?
Oh, okay. So, we're talking this week about something that winds me up, and probably winds you up, and winds up, honestly, any decent person listening. Have you heard of conversion therapy, Luke?
Oh, yes. It's where you try and pray the gay away, or you try and electrocute the gay away, or various other things the gay away.
Yeah, it's... do you know anything more about it, beyond what you've just said?
Well, I think it's probably, like, mainstream, like, we should try and do this for quite a long time.
Yes, that sentence, I wasn't paying full attention to it, and so I hopped in at a bad moment, realized what you were saying. Yeah, it was something that was...
Did you think I was supporting it?
It sounded like you were coming out in support of conversion therapy, Luke.
Imagine that you've known me this long, and then I just slipped that in, just like, right, I've always thought this.
Yeah,
been scared
honestly,
to say.
Honestly, it'd be on me. It would be on me at that point for not picking up on it sooner. But no, yeah, conversion therapy, also known as reparative therapy. Essentially, it could be any method of taking a gay person, or not even necessarily a gay person, an LGBTQ person, and making them not that, making them straight or cis. We're not really going to be focusing on trans conversion therapy today, not because it's not important or not because I don't want to talk about it. I would just rather discuss it in its own episode because there there are a few sort of things there that set it apart slightly from in sort of gay conversion therapy. Not in it being bad, and not even really in the methods, just the greater sort of social conversation around it. And I think it deserves its own episode rather than kind of being added on to this one, you know? So yeah, we'll mostly be focusing on sort of conversion therapy for people who are LGBTQ, and maybe some, maybe a little bit of T in there too. We'll see. We'll see if we get round to it. But yeah, so it could be talk therapy, behavioral sort of aversive stimuli therapy, sort of, you know, aversive therapy, group therapy, or inpatient treatments, which, you know, do sort of all of these sorts of things, electroshock therapy. It could be things that are not really described as therapy, but they do have that sort of middle syllable in there. Corrective RAPE. It's too early in the video for me to say that word out loud. Otherwise, the YouTube gods will bring their hammer down upon us. But yeah, there are many ways of trying to take someone who isn't straight and make them straight. None of them work, by the way. Do I need to say that?
Well, I think you actually do. I think you genuinely do, because I think that I certainly wondered that, in terms of, like, does it, like, obviously it doesn't make the person into a straight person, because they weren't a straight person either to begin with or for...
They didn't develop into a straight person.
They didn't develop into a straight person, and that's who they are now. They are who they are, and whether it's because of genetics or because of socialization or a combination of the two, probably a combination of the two, they are who they are, and you're not going to sort of fundamentally change them entirely. But I definitely would wonder, like, does... What are the... I'm sure we'll find out in the episode, but, like, what are the results of doing this?
I'll tell you what the results of doing this are. But before we actually get into it, do you want to take a stab at what you think? What's your hypothesis for this?
Well, a lot of trauma.
You left these in your trauma. Anything else, Luke?
Not a lot of straightness.
Yeah.
And, like, just generally repression as opposed to, like, conversion.
Well done, Luke. We'll see whether you're correct or not later on when
Thank you so much. It's like a game show.
It is like a game. I'd be a fantastic game show host. Conversion therapy with Corey. No. Never mind. Conversion therapy is essentially, despite them all being targeting different people, you know, or different groups of people, they do all have the same goal: taking someone and making them straight, normalizing them, you know, in quotes, in massive bloody quotes there. You could be lesbian, gay, bi, trans, ace, intersex, queer, any of the little letters from that acronym that we love so much, right? Essentially, yeah, the idea is using a variety of methods to make someone not display those behaviors. And ultimately, yeah, it's with the intent of getting someone to change their gender identity or sexual orientation permanently to a preferable one. I say a preferable one, straightness, being straight, being heterosexual and cisgendered, which is, obviously, it's very preferable, definitely, because all those other ones, it's just bad for you.
But why do you care?
Because being bisexual is bad for you and bad for society.
Right. But I really feel like this is a real, like, just before we get into too much, I feel like it's a failure of imagination to go like... because obviously, to a certain extent, I imagine it doesn't come from, maybe, it comes from homophobia, but it's justified by this sort of theory that, like, life is for reproduction, and justified by, not come from.
No, I mean, I think you're being too, I would say generous and specific.
Okay.
I think you're doing the classic Luke of trying to find a valid reason behind something.
You think they just want to torture gay people?
Well, no, I mean, ultimately, there are so many different groups that would sort of, you know, perform conversion therapy or do perform conversion therapy, and kind of putting it down to sort of homophobia and a potential root of that, or a potential, like, part of that just being, you know, life is for reproduction. I think it's almost myopic, because there is such a wide scope, you know, there's a religious aspect. So you could even ignore, life is for reproduction, and just say, 'cause God says, therefore, no gays. you know, it could be the idea that gays are degenerate, you know, that LGBTQ plus people cause degeneracy, which brings down societies. I mean, just look at the Romans and the Greeks. Well, their societies fell. And why? 'cause boys sucking boys. That's what did it. That's what. Don't study history.
I don't remember learning that in history.
No, they didn't tell us. That's the liberal agenda. they got to your history class, man. No, to be absolutely clear here, you know, if anyone is watching and not aware of my rampant lack of, I was going to say lack of heterosexuality, but sure, yeah, that too. Look, there are so many reasons for people to pursue conversion therapy or to perform conversion therapy, and we'll get to that in a bit. But I think trying to pin down any solid reasoning for it is giving people far too much credit. Ultimately, it comes from not liking homosexuality as a general concept.
Yeah, I guess all I was getting at was, like, we now have lots of theories as to how homosexuality could be, like, genetically selected for, right? Mm. We have theories as to, like, how homosexuality could naturally arise in a species that primarily, until this point, and, you know, whether that changes in the future with new science, primarily until this point, reproduces via male to female sex, right? Mm-hmm. That's how we reproduce. And so it does, the Darwinists go, how could homosexuality arise inside of that? And then we have really good theories. And that's why I call it a failure of imagination, because we've discussed these theories in the past on the podcast.
Yeah.
We have theories as to how homosexuality could be selected for, even though people reproduce sort of heterosexually.
I think that's interesting. You've kind of touched on something that I find really interesting, where people try to say, oh, being gay isn't natural because look at it. It will cause your species to die out, because if people are being gay, then they can't make babies. One, being gay is not the only... Bisexual people exist, for one thing. Mm-hmm. There you go. And two, being gay is very obviously natural because... It exists in people and in other animals, and existing in people alone is enough for it. That's a very it's natural. Okay, you don't need to come up with theories on how could it possibly sort of have evolved, and how could we blah blah blah. It has evolved. Let's just figure out some ideas as to why that might have happened. I'm totally with you, by the way.
Sure.
There's just some folk out there that kind of say, "Oh, this is unnatural because it's bad. It doesn't make evolutionary sense." And it's like, It's exactly what you're saying, Luke. It's a lack of imagination. This doesn't not make evolutionary sense. You're just stupid. And I don't mean that you're stupid as in you're a stupid person. I mean that in a grander sense of we as a species are fundamentally kind of stupid. Like, we don't know everything, is my point, right? We're very smart, all that sort of stuff. I'm using stupid here in a context of we don't know stuff, right? And when faced with stuff that we don't know, and we're given sort of evidence that's like, here is this thing existing, and if your sort of automatic reaction to that is, this thing is wrong. No,
but it exists.
But it exists.
Mm.
And your lack of ability to understand or explain said thing is not a refutation of the existence of that thing. When there is, like, concrete evidence of it existing. Of course, you know, being unable to refute the existence of God does not mean that God exists, but there's also no concrete evidence of the existence of God. I just want to get in ahead of any stupid arguments that are being made in the comments. Yes, that is how my brain works. I'm thinking three steps ahead on what people are going to say to what I'm saying, okay?
I think that's called anxiety.
Hey, only my doctor's allowed to say that, and I fired her. Getting back to this, it could take many different forms, as we've said, but it's basically the opposite of affirmative and appropriate therapy or counseling or anything like that, you know, because people do explore, you know, their sexuality. That is something that people are want to do. And that's okay. People are also okay to explore their gender identity. You know, I was seeing numbers of sort of 1.5 to up to maybe like 10-ish% of youth adolescents. This is off the top of my head, so take this with a massive grain of salt, look it up yourself. But roughly that sort of range of percentage of people being unsure of their sexuality or questioning it at some point in their life. And yeah, like, you know, questioning identity is perfectly fine, and therapy to explore that is also perfectly fine. What isn't fine is therapy that says this is the only way you're allowed to be this way, the way that everyone else is, because it's normal, and if you're not, you're weird and bad. That's I think it's pretty easy to see the difference between sort of affirmative care, where it's like, hey, whatever you are, whatever you think you are, that's totally cool. Let's, like, help you on your journey. Let's, you know, give you the resources that you need. Yeah, figure yourself out. Don't worry too much about it. The difference between that and, no, this is what you are, be this.
Well, it also crosses the line that therapists usually don't cross, which is like to tell you what you should do. Like so many therapists are like, they know exactly what you should do to sort your life out. But they just can't tell you. They have to like lead you to explore and come up with ideas yourself. Like, I saw a thing once where like, it was like a couples therapist. Oh, wait, hang on. Was that a Rick and Morty episode? It might have been a real couples therapist. It might have been a Rick and Morty joke. But either way, there will genuinely be couples therapy, the couples therapists who are like, this guy is 100% the problem, or this woman is 100% the problem, or this, like, this
person.
There was
a Rick and Morty joke in the latest season. Yeah, I watched it the other day.
Okay, cool. There was a Rick and Morty joke, which I just internalized as like, yeah, probably couples therapists think that.
Yeah.
And then forgot where it came from. Cite your sources, Luke. I cited my source eventually. We're fine.
He cited it immediately. He said it's probably for Rick and Morty. So there we go. That's all good. I think it's the first time Rick and Morty has been cited as a source on this podcast, but sure. Yeah, no, I mean, you could also have, it's pseudoscience, okay? This is pseudoscience, and I hate calling it therapy. There's not really any other word that people understand it by, but yes, conversion therapy is pseudoscience. Fake, nonsense, not real, doesn't help, causes harm, stop doing it. And yeah, you could have exorcism, corrective, the word that we said earlier that we didn't say, yes, but we spelled it out, R-A-P-E, being prayed over as a form of healing, eating purifying substances, many different things. And I just want to mention a PragerU doc that came out recently.
Oh, yeah.
The D-Trans doc, the friend of the pod, the fifth Psy guy, Noah Finn.
Friend of the pod?
No, PragerU is not a friend. PragerU is a sworn mortal enemy of the pod.
Oh, okay.
But they did show friend of the pod, fifth Psy guy, Noah Finn, in their...
Yeah, no
in their
way.
D-Trans doc.
Oh my God.
And this is the thing about this documentary. It's terrible. Quite literally, one of the people from it has said, oh yeah, no, I still have all these horrible feelings, and then describes dysphoria and says, but Jesus wants me to be this, and through Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Be whatever you want to be. Whatever you want to be, right? But when you're saying trans people are harming people by transitioning them, which is, one, not what trans people are doing. just not at all. And, you know, when you're saying that, when you're saying that, you really, really undercut your point when the main person in your documentary is, like, you know, still incredibly unhappy in themselves, but seemingly forcing themselves to be a woman. And I'm not going to make any comment on that person's gender identity. I honestly don't care what her gender identity is. Personally, I don't know her, don't care. And it's up to her to do what she wants with her life. But there are sort of similarities you can see between a lot of the sort of very prominent D-trans people who are being pushed by, you know, sort of right-wing, alt-right folk, and the sort of results that you see from conversion therapy. And again, D-trans people exist. D-transitioners exist. I'm not saying that all D-transitioners have gone through conversion therapy. Absolutely not. Being a D-transitioner, perfectly valid, Luke. It's a perfectly valid identity to hold. And I don't want to dissuade anyone from detransitioning if it's the right thing for them. I'm just pointing out some of the similarities. Another similarity, though, you know the corrective situation that we were talking about? Yeah, the other person that was in the detrans documentary literally described their father doing that to them when they sort of came out as being trans. This PragerU doc literally describes a sort of right-wing person using conversion therapy, like very obvious, very one of the worst sort of most obviously bad forms of conversion therapy on their child in order to get them to not be trans, right? So like conversion therapy is absolutely something that happens, you know, taking I think quite a young person down to Mexico to pay someone to have sex with them. Yeah, that's what happened.
Well, okay, it was that one, right? Okay.
Yeah, that one. The documentary literally says, yeah, my dad did this when I did that, and I now, and then they tell their whole story, and they're like, and now, yeah, I know that I'm not, like, I'm definitely a man. And it's like, you can be, again, whatever you want to be, but that's literally an example of conversion therapy. It quite literally is.
Feels like that shouldn't even be put under the label conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is like, like that's not even a medical intervention. That's just abusing someone.
What conversion therapy is, though. And I get you, and I want to agree with you, but yeah. I'm so sorry to cut you off here. No, it should be under the umbrella of conversion therapy because conversion therapy in all of its forms is exactly that harmful. It is just not as viscerally sort of uncomfortable. Do you
in
understand
that case,
what I mean?
Then the phrase conversion therapy shouldn't be used.
Yeah,
what I mean is like conversion therapy medicalizes something, which while sometimes it looks like it's being performed with a medical, through a medical lens, with a medical method, like it's not.
Yep.
I understand that like you don't want to separate those things because they're all forms of abuse.
Yeah.
Some clearly worse, but all bad. Like you just, it shouldn't be called conversion therapy. It should, that's really awful.
Yeah, no, it's torture. Torture and pseudoscience, crucially. It is pseudoscience. And I, if you've watched this podcast before or listened, I guess, hate pseudoscience with a passion. If you want to get me angry, you know that you can just slide some pseudoscience my way and I'll go nuts like a gorilla or a chimp that you look in the eyes. I'm gonna be flinging feces and ripping faces, my guy, because I hate me some pseudoscience. There is nothing that I find more detestable than something that is obviously wrong and evil and horrible or just plain, you know, not helpful, useful, bad, being like built up and kind of dressed up in scientific language so that people trust it and believe in it, because science is such an important thing, and by poisoning it with this kind of stuff, torture, horrible torture, I honestly, it's disgusting to me. It's horrid. Shall we do some stats on conversion therapy, Luke?
Yeah.
So the National LGBT Survey in 2018 found that 7% of LGBT plus people have been offered or undergone conversion therapy. To break that down for you, that's 2% of the 108,000 respondents had previously undergone conversion therapy in an attempt to cure them of being LGBT. A further 5% had been offered it. So that 7% breaks down into 2% of 108,000 respondents going through it, and another 5% being offered it. Trans people, do you think they got off lightly? Don't be silly, Luke. Of course they didn't.
More. Yeah.
No, 13% had undergone or been offered conversion therapy. And, when we talk about asexual people, we've done an episode on asexual people. Do you know what happens with them? 10%! And you can understand...
I would imagine that's much greater percentages of the violent form of conversion therapy
well. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Definitely, my man. Absolutely believe... that hypothesis there. And the government's National LGBT Survey in 2018 found that in 1 in 5 of those who had conversion therapy were offered it through healthcare and medical settings. 16% were subjected to it by a parent, guardian, or family member, and a further 1 in 10, 9%, from a member of their community. But by a large margin, and I'm just reading this verbatim here because there's nothing I can add, most victims of conversion practices went through it in a faith setting. Over half, 51%, of those subjected to a form of conversion therapy reported it was conducted by a faith organization or group. Tell me organized religion is good for LGBT people, Luke.
Organized religion is most of the time, it's not good for LGBT people.
Yeah.
Even in places where they're like, we love you, they might eventually be like, hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Love the sinner, yeah.
Which is then still... just basically telling you not to have a nice time with the people you love.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah, not good. And bear in mind, I'm not saying religion is bad. I'm not even saying spirituality is bad. Organized religion, very specifically, is that sort of strict rule set that is sort of given, that's sort of handed down, and an inherent hierarchy, which I find objectionable, to say the least.
Especially a hierarchy that claims that the top of the hierarchy is the creator of the universe who has unalienable objective rules that he wants you to follow. Like, that's not...
No, that's fine, because that's how Sci Guys works. There's me.
Yeah, and then there's God who decides the topics.
That's me.
But the trouble is like, if you claim... There's a great thing you sent me recently, Corey. Pillow Talking by Lil Dicky. Sorry, I think Noah sent me it, but you've been watching
it together. Yeah.
And it has this whole section in it where it's like, so you believe that there's a creator of the universe who makes no mistakes, but he made the dinosaurs and then one day was like, nah, and then just like blew them up. Mm-hmm. But he makes no mistakes, but he still decided he'd made a mistake and blew up the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And I think generally the whole concept that like there's some objective purpose to the universe, that there's a personal like human type God who has like making decisions and has objective beliefs, I think that sort of almost naturally necessitates this type of thinking of like some things are good, some things are bad, and God wants you to do certain things and not other things. And I'm sure there's some more open forms of religion where they actually have sort of overcome that very limited type of thinking. But the majority of it is not like that.
Well, and I may be wrong on this. I'm not a theologian or whatever the hell you call a religious study person. Words are good.
Yeah, theologian.
Or whatever you call a religious-y study-y person, Luke, thank you. We're using very technical language on the podcast. But lots of different kinds of sort of spirituality and different religions that don't, that can't like fit into that definition of organized religion because of the sort of like strict rules that you have to follow. If it's kind of optional or you get to debate or decide, which is something I really like appreciate about Judaism. There's this sort of like cultural like argumentativeness of like sort of like, and argumentativeness isn't really the best word, as this sort of like, yeah, ask questions, yeah, like debate over stuff, you know, like I really think I find that really deeply interesting. I think that's a really good value to hold. It's like it's something I find really interesting to be so deeply entrenched in a religion. To my knowledge, bear in mind, I don't know all that much about Judaism, and I could stand to know more. So if I'm wrong about anything, you want to add anything, let us know down in the comments. But moving away from religion, despite, you know, religious groups or, you know, faith-based settings being the most common places for people to undergo conversion therapy, let's move on to the history of homosexuality. So the first homosexual was, I'm joking, no.
1975.
Well, interestingly though, in the early 19th century, I believe it was the early 19th century, the terms homosexual and homosexuality were first used by a psychiatrist, well, by Richard von Krafft-Ebing and Karl Maria Kertbeny, a Hungarian writer and a psychiatrist. Not respectively, the other way around. Karl was the writer, Richard was the psychiatrist. They used the terms homosexual and homosexuality in the 19th century, but they disagreed on whether being gay was bad or not, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, this whole sort of thing then continued on where people were debating whether being gay was bad or not. Freud was like, homosexuality is a form of immaturity where the normal sexual instincts of childhood keep on carrying on into adulthood. Kids are gay and then they grow out of it, says Freud. And gay men, they just don't grow out of it. Those baby men. And then people realized Freud was full of it. Just absolutely, just spewing out nonsense left, right and center.
He was a weird bloke. He was like, he's like a gay kid, and then he grew up and was like, oh, f*** my mom.
I'm so confused.
And everyone feels exactly the same way I do.
The disaster bisexual with projection issues. And then Sandor Rado believed there was no such thing as normal childhood homosexuality. And he sort of went on to say, homosexuality is a sort of phobia of heterosexuality. So, you know, if your parents, when you were a child, sucked, you end up gay because they didn't parent you right, and now you're scared of being straight, you little baby. And then
how does that marry with the plenty of people who had bad parents but were straight?
Shut up. So that continued on. Those views carried on into the 20th century, and then people were like still debating over it. Sexology researchers in the mid 20th century tried to figure it out and looked at lots of people, like general populations. They did field research. They looked at non-patients. They sort of work of Kinsey and Evelyn Hooker were sort of, that was sort of like very influential. The American sort of psychiatry ignored all of that. Gay people being normal? Blah, silly. No, we're not agreeing with any of that. And they just carried on, like American psychiatry just carried on with absolute nonsense when it came to gay stuff, literally just ignoring sexology in the sort of 60s and 70s. And then in 1970, that research was like just thrust in front of the American Psychological Psychiatric Association, the APA, because of gay and lesbian activists basically saying, look, we're not going to be pathologized anymore. Stop doing that. We're normal. There's research showing we're normal. Shut up. Stop it. They disrupted the 1970 and 71 annual APA meetings. And so the APA were then like, okay, I guess we'll try and figure out whether you lot are nutters or not. And so they launched a bunch of research looking into whether homosexuality should be considered a psychiatric disorder. And then in 1973, the APA's Board of Trustees voted to remove homosexuality from the DSM-2. That was December 1973. They decided that.
Woke kings.
Yeah. Can I just be really clear? 50 years ago. Wow. 1973 was 50 years ago. Mm. But 50 years ago, being gay was a mental disorder.
Wow, that's, my parents were alive then.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is gay, yes. Sorry, crazy. It's hard to, woof, they're so similar in my brain.
They're both in the DSM-2. Sorry, DSM-1.
But yeah, no, so since that happened, people gradually sort of were like, oh, I guess being gay is okay, and we're still getting there. 1998, the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from the ICD, the ICD-10, the International Classification of Diseases, which, come on, catch up a bit, guys. 1990, that's a bit late. That's a bit...
God, 1990.
And so if we talk about conversion therapy, so that's a history of homosexuality. Basically, if you were gay, you were crazy up until the 70s, 90s kind of time. And then it was like, hey, maybe it's okay, but we'll also still use gay as a word for meaning stupid or bad until maybe, you know, the mid-2010s.
Oh, they still do it now. They're kids, like, it's way more common than I expected.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember where it was, but there was a bunch of, like these... guys, like these, like probably like 13, 14 year old boys, and they were still using gay as a slur, like this year.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was still happening.
I mean I still use it, but I think I'm allowed.
I hope you do it ironically.
I think I've had enough sex with men to call things gay as a derogatory term and that be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I mean, maybe 5 or 10 more, you know? Yeah.
You're almost there. You'll get your card in a minute. Your pass card.
Once I hit my centennial. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I thought it was my tinnitus, but it turns out it's the ad bell.
What is he ringing for this week, Luke?
Well, today the show is being sponsored and supported, as always, actually, by our Patreon.
What? A Patreon? Is that where people can go and pay for trees on something?
That is not what it is. Maybe we'll do that as a perk one day. But for now, the Patreon is a place where people can go, people who love this show, like you, for example, can go and support the show existing. It's very complicated and expensive to make this show, and our patrons help it to exist. So we think you are very lovely for doing that.
Yeah, if you've ever noticed anyone's name scrolling through at the end of a Sci Guys episode, that's because they're our patrons, and we want to thank our patrons for helping us make this show. So to do that, we give them a whole bunch of things. Perks like bonus episodes and a different show and other things. What else do we give them, Luke?
They get to submit topic ideas for the show for Corey to consider, and then also those topic ideas go into a vote that is voted on every month by our patrons only. So they basically get to control us once a month.
So if you really love Sci Guys and you're not content with just sitting back and watching us natter on, you want to have a hand in the show, you want to be a part of it, go ahead and sign up to our Patreon, because you can be a part of this show.
Shall we get on with that show?
We shall.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
So the history of conversion therapy, Luke. In 1899, a German psychiatrist was saying, hey, I turned a gay man straight. He was at a conference on hypnosis, and he was like, look, I made this old bender into a nice straight young gentleman. No longer,
you made him younger as well.
Perhaps no longer have we got a couple there. We got a couple of bachelors, huh?
Wow.
But there's only one of them, and there weren't. There's just the one gay man I made straight. And all I needed to do was hypnotize him 45 times and take him to a brothel. A few times at the brothel, 45 hypnosis sessions. So this was Albert von Schrenck-Notzing.
No way. Albert von Schrenk.
Albert von Schrenk, S-C-H-R-E-N-C-K, not Zing. He basically said that he managed to manipulate this man's sexual desires and switching him from being interested in men to being interested in women, which is much more normal and much more desirable.
Yeah, you're just a normal guy who used to be gay and then went to the brothel loads and loads of times and got hypnotized, and now you like women. Totally normal guy.
That's a normal thing to do.
We've all been there.
Everyone's a little bit gay, okay? You just need to decide to not... I'd actually kind of love when people are like, you just choose to not be gay. And I'm like, you're bisexual. Maybe you're not, but like, if you're choosing to not be gay, I don't know, man.
You were bisexual and you went to boys' school.
What? Yeah. So,
going to boys' school, you have two choices. You either become straight or you go lean so hard into the gay that you're just really, really gay.
Yeah. You speaking from experience there?
Well, I went to boys' school.
So, we've also got electroconvulsive therapy. Look, you had some kind of electroshock therapy, didn't you?
No, I don't think they'd appreciate you calling it that. I had transcranial magnetic stimulation. Which doesn't involve any like electrical current going into my brain. It uses electromagnets to sort of induce a current in my brain. Not the same, but kind of the same, I suppose.
Oh, so it's not like shocking someone's literal actual brain with stuff. No.
No cables, no cutting open, just big magnets.
No lobotomies involved?
No lobotomies. Yeah, I was very happy about that.
Oh, good. So TMS isn't conversion therapy. That's quite nice.
It is. It converts you from depressed to not depressed.
Oh, see, what this does is they took LGBTQ+ people, or just LGBTQ people, it says in my notes. They gave them electroconvulsive therapy, and some of them they gave lobotomy. So if you don't know what a lobotomy is, they cut a bit of your brain. They just take it out, and then your personality is kind of not there.
It's the gay bit
anymore.
They get the gay bit and they cut it out.
Well, I mean, for some folk, that'd be the whole brain. I mean, like, really? Like, I mean, you know, you're seeing some of them out there, all right? You're like, man, the only thing you got on your mind is being gay. And honestly, this is a full brainectomy.
Full brain lobotomy.
It's just gone. That's not a lobotomy. That's like an encephalopathy or whatever, right? They're taking out the whole damn thing. But yeah, you'll like this next one, Luke. Robert Galbraith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heath. What is he famous for something? What's he famous for?
Oh, well, Robert Galbraith is famous for being a transphobe who wrote books.
Oh.
But Robert Galbraith Heath is entirely unrelated to that transphobe who wrote some books. He was a psychiatrist who pioneered conversion therapy.
I just made the connection. Mm-hmm. I just made the connection.
Oh, between Robert Galbraith Heath, a psychiatrist who pioneered the sort of technique of using brain stimulation to stop people from being gay, and Robert Galbraith, the pen name of a very famous, very transphobic author who wrote some books.
Is there a link?
You see, that very famous, very transphobic author chose the name Robert Galbraith as a pen name, and God only knows where that very famous, very transphobic author got that name from. But what I'm telling you here, Luke, is that Robert Galbraith Heath is a very infamous psychiatrist who used to shock gay people to change their sexual orientation. But also, don't worry, he also hired prostitutes and used heterosexual pornography to change gay men's sexual orientation.
If that's a coincidence, that is an insane coincidence. And if it's not a coincidence, what the hell?
Look, whether it's a coincidence or not is not for us to say. I am just letting you know that J.K. Rowling's pen name, Robert Galbraith, is the same name as a very, very famous person who pioneered gay conversion therapy.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, Luke, did you not quite get that? Let me just repeat it for you. J.K. Rowling's pen name, Robert Galbraith, is the same name as someone who pioneered gay conversion therapy. Takes one Google. It takes literally one Google. It's not that hard. It's not like when you searched Robert Galbraith before, the Cuckoo's Calling or some shit came up. No. If you Googled Robert Galbraith when she came out with those books, you'd probably have found that gay conversion therapy guy.
Yeah, because you will Google it because you'll need to check that no one else has got the name.
Yeah.
And also your publisher will go like, are you sure you want to like be associated with that guy who did these things?
Mm?
Or at least later down the line, like if my pen name was like Robert Mugabe, and then like Robert Mugabe did his Mugabe stuff, I'd be like, right, I just want everyone to know I picked that name randomly. I'm really sorry, and I will now change my pen name.
Yeah,
like that's what I'd That's what I do.
Yeah, it's like how in Archer, this TV show, their agency was called ISIS. And then when ISIS became quite popular, they decided, ooh, we'll change the name of this spy agency to something else. And that's a fictional television show, Luke.
Yes.
Also, she doesn't need to continue writing under Robert Galbraith because everyone knows that it's her. Because she had to come out and say it was her because they didn't sell well before she did. Anyway, moving on. I don't like TERFs or transphobes.
I think you've made that clear, yes.
So yeah, Robert Galbraith Heath, no relation, was a gay conversion therapy pioneer, as I've said many, many times. So that kind of started aversion therapy. It kind of came off from that, which is kind of essentially making LGBTQ people disgusted with homosexuality so that they don't experience same-sex desire. So for example, Luke, let's say you were a gay and you were like watching some gay porn. This is not like, I'm just kind of like hypothetically speaking here, right? You were a gay and you were watching gay porn. I would then make you disgusted with that gay porn by associating it with something disgusting, right?
Yeah.
And that way, whenever you think gay thoughts, you're like, blech, blech. Yeah. And then you don't want to be gay.
Yeah.
Cured.
But that wouldn't make me then like not gay porn. Which make me like no porn.
Yeah, but you're not gay anymore, so that's kind of mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've not converted me to anything. You've converted me to nothing.
Well, do you hypothetically want to have sex with men in this hypothetical situation?
Not if it's going to make me feel unwell.
Oh, because of the conversion therapy.
Yeah,
well then it worked. There you go. Good job.
But it doesn't mean I now want to sex women.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. That's not my problem. You sex who you want, so long as it's not a man, is what they said back then, I assume.
Wow.
Yeah. And so this was in medical settings. They were given chemicals that made them vomit when they looked at photos of their lovers. Luke, can you imagine looking at your wife and me feeding you chemicals that made you vomit so that you became disgusted with your wife?
Please don't do that.
I won't.
I like my wife.
Yeah. Well, maybe you won't after some of this aversion therapy. Don't worry. It's medical. Yeah. Electrical shocks to their genitals sometimes when they looked at gay porn or cross-dressed. Just reading this verbatim, by the way.
Yeah.
God knows. So yeah, they were doing this to gay people, presumably trans people. Yeah, they just they just tortured people into not being gay. Shame and pain are just a part of it. I've got a little quote here from James. I think his name is Gay, coincidentally. G-U-A-Y. Guy.
Guy.
Gay. James says, I read books and listened to audio tapes about how to have a corrective and healing relationship with Jesus Christ. He went to sort of weekly gay conversion therapy seminars or whatever. These materials talked about how the gay lifestyle would create disease, depravity, and misery. I was convinced that doing what I was told would change my attractions and confused about why these methods supposedly worked for others but not for me. A historian, Elise Chenier, says, although proponents of aversion therapy claimed cure rates as high as 50%, which is not very high.
It's not even that high.
It's not that high. These claims are never satisfactorily documented. So essentially what's happening is they were saying, we made half of these gays not gay. And what they really did was just tortured them.
Yes, I do think it's important to note that that isn't conversion therapy. It's just aversion therapy. You've created an aversion to something, but you've not converted them to the hypothetical opposite.
Yes. But,
now,
okay, so semantically speaking, yes.
Yeah.
But it does, I do want to be clear. And again, sorry, this is not for you. This is for people listening.
Yeah.
The aversion therapy falls under that conversion therapy umbrella. It's all torture. It's all bad. None of it's therapy.
But even that to me, like, that demonstrates the fact that, like, the idea that aversion therapy is a form of conversion therapy, which I agree with you, that is how it's categorized. It suggests like that being homosexual is the opposite of being heterosexual, which is just not. There's a load of like encodings in there that are like gender binary things, and like man is the opposite of woman, and like there's a lot of weird stuff in there that's like just not true.
But I think what you're forgetting, Luke, if I may play devil's advocate for a moment,
is it that Jesus loves me and wants me to not be gay?
That, but what you're also forgetting is that man opposite woman, gay opposite straight, gay bad, is comfortable. It's nice and easy and comfortable.
Simple.
And having to ask questions and realize that the categories that we've built so much of our society on may not actually be as distinct and discrete as we once thought, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, no. So we'll just torture all of the gays until I don't have to think about them anymore. And yeah, I guess that's probably about it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a great plan.
Scene. Again, for anyone that is confused, that's not my beliefs. That's them conversion therapy nuts. That's what they think.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And allegedly, J.K. Rowling is a transphobe. Anyway, conversion therapy.
Slipping that in there one more time.
Yeah. Do you want to do one? J.K. Rowling's a transphobe.
J.K. Rowling's a transphobe.
There we go.
Right. Wow, it feels good.
Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good. Feels good to let it out.
No, it feels bad.
Oh, sorry. Well, then Robert Galbraith is a transphobic, homophobic, horrible person. Which one? I don't know.
One of them. Maybe both.
Oh, look. Oh, I don't know if we can say that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But yes, if we look at the evidence for conversion therapy, what do you think? I know you've got a view of the history of conversion therapy, a view of the history of how we've looked at gay people. And bear in mind, we've spoken about the history of sort of gender dysphoria a little bit in previous episodes and stuff as well. How do you feel about conversion therapy? How do you think it works? Do you think it's effective or?
Well, I guess it depends what you're talking about. It sounds like it is effective from the perspective of creating a revulsion towards being with somebody or looking at pornography for the sex or gender you're attracted to. It sounds like it's actually effective at that, but you can have a conversation about whether you think that's a good thing or not. But it does sound like it is effective at creating a revulsion. Mm. Whether it is effective at what I think it should ought to be really the metric by which you're measuring it, which is to make somebody heterosexual, it sounds like it has like a 0% success rate.
So I should clarify, yeah, bear in mind that 50% number that I gave you earlier hasn't been confirmed by any sort of data or whatnot.
It's made up.
And also, people, I'm sorry to tell you this, Luke, can lie.
Mm.
Especially, actually, when they're being tortured. In fact, people who are being tortured are... I would say probably more likely to lie to stop being tortured because here's some like really like big scientific knowledge for you, Luke. Torture is unpleasant.
Yeah.
Unpleasant experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we saw this with torturing like terrorists was they just make up stuff that they thought was vaguely plausible.
That was a really weird moment for us. I don't know why we did that.
Yeah.
I don't know how we found so many terrorists, just the two of us as well. You know, that was crazy. That was a crazy time. Oh, was that like 2007? Oh, back in the day.
We didn't even know each other. And
no, we
yet
didn't.
We were brought together.
But it was 9/11. Luke, after 9/11, you could torture as many terrorists as you wanted, so long as they were Muslim. Whether or not they were terrorists is actually, you know.
They might not even be terrorists.
Neither here nor there.
This is a very weird tangent about the actions of the US and UK governments post 9/11.
Is that what we're talking about? I thought we were talking about just what you and I did after 9/11, which is round up a bunch of Muslim people that may or may not be terrorists and torture them until they admit to stuff that they may or may not have done.
Well, I guess ostensibly that is what we were saying, but really we were referencing what the UK and US did to terrorists
or
accused terrorists. Yes.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
That was a bit.
Yeah, that does make a lot more sense because that is what they did. So moving on to conversion therapy again, the APA did some research on it in 2007, which is many years ago. A task force of the APA did a review of the existing research on the efficacy of conversion therapy, and the report noted there was, and I quote, very little methodologically sound research on sexual orientation change efforts, and that the results of scientifically valid research indicate that it's unlikely that individuals will be able to reduce same-sex attractions or increase other sexual attractions through sexual orientation change efforts. In addition, they also found there weren't any methodologically sound studies that would enable them to make a definitive statement about whether or not it was safe or harmful and for whom. That was in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what that's saying is, so it's weird. We looked at all the research and like, it doesn't seem to be that you can make someone straight or even make them not have gay attraction. But also, we don't know how harmful it is. And then let's look at a study by the government of the UK from 2021. Conversion therapy, an evidence assessment and qualitative study. There's many quotes from this. Evidence suggests that modern forms of conversion therapy are commonly based on a belief that same-sex sexual orientations and transgender identities are developmental disorders, addictions, or spiritual problems. Luke, you know a number of transgender people. Would you say that they're addicted to being transgender, or perhaps that their transgenderness is a spiritual problem?
No.
No? A developmental disorder, perhaps?
No.
No? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, are you double sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. And the most common methods were, do you want to guess the two most common methods for conversion therapy that the UK government found?
Electrocution?
No, actually, it's much less sort of violent than that. Spiritual methods, like healing or exorcisms or prayer or whatnot, and psychological methods like talking therapies.
Right.
Yeah, so much more insidious, I would say. It's harder to nowadays, you know, stick electrodes in someone's brain and just shock them, or you know, even
unless they're depressed.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's whatever. I mean, that's a real mental disorder. Look, not like being gay, which is a fake mental disorder.
Yeah, true.
And you can't just hook up someone's genitals to a car battery and make them watch gay porn anymore. You know, it's not the 90s, 80s, 70s, or 60s. I don't know if they were doing that in the 90s, but you know, it's not like 40 years ago.
I'm sure somebody was doing it in the 90s.
Almost definitely.
Interestingly, when you say that, like, the stuff that's most common in the UK is like talking therapy and sort of religious spiritual stuff, mm-hmm. I think there it's actually very important to know whether it's actually effective at making you...
It's not
effective. I know that.
Yeah.
No. I know that it's not effective.
Oh, okay, sorry.
What I mean by that is that you've got two issues with conversion therapy, right? Which is the first one is it's fundamentally based on homophobia.
Yeah.
And we need to get rid of the homophobia, root out the homophobia, wherever it is, destroy it, etc. And then... What?
Maybe we should do conversion therapy to get rid of homophobia. Reverse it.
Yeah, yeah. Get people to say homophobic stuff and then just like...
Just shock their balls.
hey, that would be a fun TV show.
Oh my God. Read out all your homophobic tweets and for everyone, please shock your balls.
Yeah, I think that would be great fun. So there's the fact that society is homophobic, right? Mm-hmm. Was homophobic and still remains homophobic. And then there's the other aspect of the fact that, which is that like in a world where the world is homophobic and there's not necessarily a great deal that any individual can do about that, they have to deal with the fact that they are homosexual in that world.
Mm.
And you can understand why, especially if somebody grew up in sort of small, culturally tight-knit communities where it's very difficult to be different and you're going to stay in that community and it's not maybe got like the sort of more sort of open, free... sort of loving world we try to create, or if you're born in a religious community, you can understand why somebody who is having homosexual thoughts, is homosexual, etc., might want to not have those thoughts because it's difficult socially, culturally, in their family, in their religion, etc. And so it's actually very important to know that it actually doesn't work because you could understand why a consenting adult might want
can I just
to
say
do it.
Yeah. Consenting.
No, I know consent.
And
I know
I'm with,
consent.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you.
But you can conceptualize of like, should we stop somebody doing this if they want to and they're fully like they understand it and they like just they want to convert in quotes.
Mm.
So the fact that it is not effective means that you can still lump even something as seemingly sort of subtle and harmless,
innocuous,
in quotes, as talking therapy into a sort of torture, a self-torture, a self-harm thing, because ultimately you are just torturing yourself. You need to work on accepting who you are and either like converting the people around you into being loving of who you are or move to a different place where people will love you because... It's fruitless. You're not going to actually achieve the goal. So you're just torturing yourself by trying.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. You've blown through the next two sections of my notes. Well done. Mm-hmm. Honestly, man, that's so spot on. There's just a couple more things I want to touch on from that report before we get into the sort of why someone would pursue it and the consent aspect to it, which you've really covered quite well. And, you know, there's not very much more I can add. But yeah, conversion therapy, as I said, most commonly carried out in religious settings, could also be done by mental health professionals, family members, and again, I will quote this directly. In some cases, secular mental health professionals may treat minority gender identities, for example, non-binary, or minority sexual orientations, for example, asexual, as symptoms of existing mental health conditions. It's unclear how often this is a deliberate attempt at conversion therapy. I think it doesn't matter. I think if you're looking at an asexual person who is comfortably asexual, or who is perhaps even uncomfortably asexual, and you're thinking, let's make you not asexual, instead of being like, hey, like, being asexual is like an option and it's perfectly okay and fine. You know, if you want to try, you know, I guess like hormones or whatever it is that we covered in that asexual episode that we did, go and check it out. If you want to try that, that is an option for you, but I want to make sure that you're comfortable in your heterosexual, in your asexuality, your potential asexuality first. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like that sort of affirmative thing, because, you know, we talk about the sort of consent aspect of it. Can we really say that someone is actually genuinely consenting? When, you know, no. There's so much social pressure, because if we look at the whys, like, you know, the reasons that I've found, the common reasons for seeking out conversion therapy, and again, I'll read this verbatim, a perceived incompatibility between someone's religious values and their sexual orientation or gender identity, a desire to belong and feel normal within a community, or external pressure or coercion by someone's family members or people from their faith community. And some people report that when they underwent conversion therapy voluntarily, they still felt that the choices were shaped or sort of, you know, influenced by a powerful, influences in their social environment and under guidance from authority figures. So even if someone is consenting, they're not necessarily actually consenting, right? Because there are so many social pressures to sort of do the thing that they're being told to do. In the same sort of sense of, like, if someone is in an abusive relationship and you say, hey, friend, do you know how your partner is abusive towards you? Do you know how they hit you? Do you know how they shout at you? Do you know how they treat you terribly in all these ways? And this person is like, I love them and I will stay in the relationship. Are they consenting to stay in that relationship?
No, of course not.
No, they're not, because their consent is undermined by the sort of power imbalance that is present there. In the same sense that if, for example, Harvey Weinstein says, hey, Luke, I will give you a film. Let me just come into my hotel room, and you go into his hotel room, okay, and then you come out with your film.
Here I go.
Is what happened in that hotel room consensual?
Oh, no.
I mean, probably not, right? Probably not, because of that power imbalance and the sort of influence that's being exerted over you. So I don't think it really is possible to consent to conversion therapy or conversion practices in a true sort of sense. You know, you're not really super free to make those choices. Really, if you're making an informed choice and understand what conversion therapy actually is, no one would really make that choice to cause that harm to themselves. And while you are allowed to make choices that can cause you physical and emotional and psychological sort of mental harm, there's kind of a limit there, right? Again, with the sort of abusive relationship aspect, right? You know, you can, you know, legally, I guess, make that choice. But to say that it's truly consensual, I think, is inherently flawed. So while the victim, can consent, it's not truly informed consent, realistically. Especially, you know, if you've been coerced into believing that homosexuality is sinful or a mental disorder or in some way degenerate, bad, or undesirable. That's really ultimately the only reason that one would pursue sort of conversion therapy, is if they see homosexuality or being transgender or any sort of non-normative sexual or gender identity as being inherently lesser, negative, or coming with sort of worse outcomes than being heterosexual or cisgender.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the thing is, I think when I'm thinking about this is like, every time I try to think of a person who might want to do that and might want to knowingly decide to quote unquote convert, I have to sort of invent a person who I don't know exists.
Yeah.
I have to go imagine if someone was had sexual attraction to exclusively men, but then they had romantic attraction to exclusively women. I don't know if that person exists. I have no idea. Maybe it does. And that might be a situation in which
poly relationship.
Poly. Yeah, maybe.
I married my wife and I my husband, I love it. You know,
sure, yeah, exactly. And even then, it's that's still, like you say, that kind of thing, not doing that would be because you're trying to conform to a social pressure of the monogamous model we have for relationships, which we don't know. We don't know if those, it's just as stable to be in other forms. It's just that most people conform enough that it sort of carries on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just want to take this moment to step up on my little soapbox and talk about transgender people for a moment, or more specifically, people that don't like transgender people, TERFs, primarily. So I'm looking at the camera now. Hello. Many people who are transphobic, TERFs, they will say, transgenderism is a form of conversion therapy. They take normal gay people who are confused about their gender identity because they're gay and the world is homophobic, and they transition them into straight people, and that's conversion therapy, and that's bad. Shut up. And I am actually, that's my annoyed voice I'm using, okay? You don't get to hear that serious, pissed off voice from me very often, but I'll use it now because I'll tell you what. Conflating letting someone transition, affirmative gender care, with conversion therapy kind of betrays a fundamental misunderstanding of what conversion therapy is. It is torture, okay? Someone who is undergoing conversion therapy is not really undergoing it willingly, right? There are pressures around them that are making them do that. And you could say, oh, there are pressures around trans people that make them be trans. Like, all of their friends are trans and it's cool to be trans. Yeah, okay, sure. Even if that were the case, do you not think that the second you are visibly trans in public, all of the social pressure against being trans would force you to stop being trans? If it was so easy for like 5 or 6 friends who realize, oh, actually, I'm not the gender I was assigned at birth, if it was so easy for them to influence you into being a different gender, do you not think that the massive, overwhelming public transphobia would force anyone that was that easily led to stop being trans pretty much immediately? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Affirmative gender care is nothing remotely similar to conversion therapy at all, because it is patient-led. You ask the patient, hey, how do you feel? Do you feel this way? Do you feel that way? Here are the options that you have. This is what you can do. You can also not transition at all. Do you want to know how I know that? Because I've read the actual things that people are given. I've read what Planned Parenthood gives out. I've looked into what happens in the UK. I fucking know what I'm talking about, okay? I don't think you do. I think you just hate trans people and you see conversion therapy and you're like, actually, that's a really useful tool for me to use against trans people. And if that's the case, fuck you. You, okay? Letting people transition, letting people be comfortable and happy in themselves is nothing like conversion therapy. It is nothing like the torture that thousands of LGBTQ plus people have had to endure because of social pressures to make them straight, okay? And if you're someone that even thinks of saying anything remotely similar to that, that trans people are using conversion therapy to turn gay people straight, shut up. You're a horrible person, and I hope you learn better. Okay, I hope you can look back on this time and realize, oh man, I was a bad person. I hope you can look back and feel embarrassed, because ultimately it's nonsense. It's hateful nonsense. And one last thing, gay trans people exist. In fact, a lot of trans people are gay, okay? That's, there you go. Nail in the coffin. Your argument makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Off back to wherever you came from and take Robert Galbraith with you.
Yeah, what Corey said.
So back to the effects of conversion therapy, Luke. Do you want to talk about them?
Universally bad?
Ding, ding, ding. You got it. Yeah. No. There is no report of change in sexual orientation, and reports of success are unpersuasive due to serious methodological limitations and sometimes major flaws in study designs. Almost as though incredibly biased people are trying to make fake studies to make it seem as though the torture that they're performing on LGBT people or, you know, other marginalized groups is actually a-okay, because that's not something that's ever happened in science before. A group of powerful people saying, hey, we don't like this group and we're going to use science as a means to oppress them. God forbid that ever happened in the past, present, or future. We don't have any episodes on that whatsoever. Wink. Anyway, basically it doesn't work at all. From one paper I've got here, lifetime exposure to conversion therapy and psychosocial health amongst midlife and older adult men who have sex with men. There's a study that looked at about 1,000-ish men and asked them about conversion therapy and whatnot, and they found that men exposed to conversion therapy had 2 to 2.5 times the odds of reporting psychosocial conditions. And basically, yeah, the idea is that it being exposed to conversion therapy makes you not good. It makes you sad. There's lots of trauma that can come from it. A study on transgender people found that those exposed to conversion therapy were more likely to be unemployed, have a lower household income, have an increase in self-deletion attempts and lifetime history of suicidal ideation and mental distress. Also, conversion therapies can encourage family rejection, which plays a role in poor mental health and substance abuse outcomes. And if we talk about social prejudice as well, there's lots of evidence that societal prejudice causes significant medical, psychological, and other harms to LGBTQ plus people. I've actually got some data here for you on that. This little study that was done, I think, by San Francisco State University, they found that compared to LGBT young people who were rejected by their families, compared to those who weren't rejected by their families, they're more than eight times as likely to have attempted suicide, nearly six times as likely to report high levels of depression, more than three times as likely to use illegal drugs, and more than three times as likely to be at high risk for HIV and STDs. Being sort of disowned or not accepted by your family, not many good outcomes there.
Who could have known?
I don't know, Luke. This is all crazy to me. This is all brand new. It's absolutely mad. Basically what we found is the efforts to change people's sexuality, their sexual orientation, is bad. It doesn't do much to help them. It just causes trauma, mental distress, lots of harm, poor mental health outcomes. Oh, and also doing that for gender identity, which people are very much behind doing, by the way. There are plenty of people out there who are, they say they're therapists, and they're like, yes, we don't like the affirmative model of gender care. So what we do is we do therapy to really root out the problem and convince these people that they're not trans. Some of them are trans. In fact, a lot of them probably are trans. Stop trying to talk them out of being trans because you don't like trans people, freak. As I was saying, Luke, these forms of sort of conversion therapy, let's call them what they are, there's less data on them, but the data that we do have... Can you guess?
Oh, I think it's 100% effective and actually very sexy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, you'd be dead wrong, Luke.
Oh, no.
I guess you got to join your best mate, Robert Galbraith, that transphobe who may or may not have written a book series.
And I need to get a new job.
No, yeah. Do you want to say what your opinion is, seriously?
My opinion, seriously, is that I think it will be as effective, maybe even less effective than gay conversion therapy. I don't think it will work. I think it just causes a bunch of trauma. Yeah, that's. I think it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much there, mate. Pretty much. And so that is more or less it. I had a little section on trans conversion therapy, but like ultimately we've kind of covered it, and we could probably do an entire episode in and of itself. But the fundamental thing here is we need to protect all LGBTQ plus people from conversion therapy, whether they're transgender, whether they're, you know, non-binary, whether they're gay, straight, lesbian, queer, intersex. I don't care. If they're under the LGBT umbrella, you're not touching them with any conversion therapy over my dead body. Let's talk about the conversion therapy ban. So the UK has been saying they'll ban it for about 5 years. And Brazil was the first country to do it in 1999.
Wow.
2010, Fiji went ahead and banned it. Samoa in 2007. Taiwan in 2018. Argentina 2010. Uruguay in 2017. Ecuador 2014. Malta 2016. All of these are criminal bans or legislation against conversion therapy. Germany in 2020 banned it for minors, as well as protecting adults undergoing conversion therapy because of force, fraud, or pressure. Queensland in Australia in 2020 made conversion therapy in healthcare settings a criminal offence. And Victoria then went and did the same thing in all settings in 2021. And yeah, there's been a ton of different bans from 2013 across 20 states of the United States of America. And in 2021, Chile introduced a medical ban with a bill under discussion that would ban conversion therapy in all settings. In India, the Madras High Court issued directives to prohibit conversion therapy in India, along with other sweeping reforms to protect LGBTQ plus rights. Canada did some stuff with it in 2021. They voted unanimously for a federal ban, despite the fact that, you know, there were some bans for minors already in place across a few different territories in Canada. February 2022, New Zealand banned conversion therapy. They had two new criminal offences that they introduced for attempts to change the sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression of anyone under 18. And a UK ban, Luke. Where do you think we're at on that?
Yeah. Tell me again how the UK is a leader on the world stage.
Yeah, we're a leader because about 5 years ago, or maybe more or less, Theresa May promised to ban conversion therapy. And then Boris Johnson said, well, we may have to have a loophole for religious stuff, you know, the most common, the report in 2018 or 2021.
That's like
found.
Half of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all bad except for half of it, which is fine. According to Bojo, allegedly. And then we've cycled through a bunch of prime ministers. I don't think Liz Truss had nearly enough time to even think about it for a moment, but I'm sure she would have been right behind banning it just after she tanked the economy. Rishi Sunak, our current prime minister, who you, Luke, have told me you have a deep respect for.
Excuse me? I'm not going to let that fly.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, that's exactly what Rishi Sunak has said about conversion therapy. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, of course. He promised to ban it, you know, after Theresa May already promised to ban it. And then he was like, actually, been a lot of pushback, so I'm going to delay it for a little bit.
He has no ability to do anything.
Yeah, no. Time of recording, the King's Speech is tomorrow. So we'll see whether it's mentioned in the King's Speech, because if you look at all of the articles on it right now, it's not been mentioned in the King's Speech. It's not going to be mentioned, apparently. We don't know that yet, whether it is or not, but apparently it won't be.
Maybe the King does like a Steve Jobs, and there's one more thing.
Oh, yeah, like a tad on at the end.
Conversion therapy. We're like, woo!
Yep.
And it's just the iPhone all over again.
Gosh, Luke, what a fantastic thing that would be, wouldn't it?
He should, because David Cameron put, he like screwed loads of stuff up, but he did legislate to legalize gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that was just so he had some legacy of something.
Other than destroying the country.
Other than like loads of stuff, like screwing over students and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And Rishi Sunak, he's not got long. He could do this one thing that would mean he would actually be remembered for something.
See, here's the thing. So they were, I think Bojo's time, they were, or maybe it's really hard to keep track of prime ministers. They were going to ban conversion therapy. Then they were like, do you know what? We're going to delay it. Then they were like, oh, wait, you gays are mad? Okay, fine. We won't delay it. We'll just ban gay conversion therapy. And people were like, but trans people. And they were like, we're delaying it again.
But then how are they going to get the votes from all those people who are scared of trans people? That's the only people who are going to vote for them. Just all these people are like, they might be in my bathroom.
Well, trans people are very scary. Trust me, Luke, I've read J.K. Rowling's entire Twitter feed, and I know that trans people are very scary. Ask me why? I can't tell you any actual reason, but J.K. Rowling told me to be scared, and so I'm very, very scared.
There's been a lot of J.K. Rowling in this episode.
Yeah, a lot of J.K. Rowling in this episode, but we're talking about transphobia, so, you know, kind of go hand in hand.
Allegedly,
J.K. Rowling's a transphobe. But no, seriously, man, this ban of conversion therapy in the UK has taken far too long. It's just really been kicked about. The head of, what is it, the ITV News, the ITV News editor, Paul Brand, he said that it's very unlikely that a conversion therapy ban will be passed before the next general election, which is due no later than the 28th of January, 2025. And a little quote here from Paul Brand again. The long-promised ban on conversion therapy won't be in the King's Speech. I understand that the government thinks the shape of this ban isn't ready yet. I'll tell you what the shape of the ban is. Complete ban of conversion therapy. It is torture for gay people. The fact that it can still exist in a civilized society is evidence of the society not actually being all that civilized. And that's about it. That's all I've got to say, other than one last final JK Rowling. And, you know, all homophobes and transphobes out there, but specifically that one. Luke, you got anything to say?
Allegedly. I have nothing to say. That was awful. I'm very glad it doesn't work, because that means there's no way of justifying it, even if the tiniest little thread of justification. And I think we only have one more thing to do.
Oh, I think it's the quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Pray the gay away edition.
The rules for the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between you and the audience, Luke. The first person to answer the question correctly after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win this week, Luke?
They win a gay conversion therapy session with Corey, but it's to make you gay.
Make you gayer. Yeah. It's
make you
honestly,
real gay.
Honestly, it's just watching Jurassic Park. It's a very bisexual movie, okay? You got yourself some Laura Dern. You got yourself some Ian Malcolm. Did I use a character name and an actor name? Gosh darn, yes I did. I don't care. Okay? Them dinos will turn you gay no matter your gender identity or sexual orientation. And the question for you is, The National LGBT Survey in 2018 found that what percentage of LGBT plus people have been offered or undergone conversion therapy?
7% total, 2% have done it, 5% have been offered it.
Ding, 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 that is correct. Mm. Well done. That's all. I don't really want to say anything else. I just want this to end as quickly as possible. So before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to Exact, producers Danito and Glitch Rabbit, and thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com. SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And conversion therapy. Ban conversion therapy. Ban conversion therapy. Now ban it. Ban conversion therapy.
Just getting all the keywords in there.
Ban conversion therapy.
For a Google search.
Ban conversion therapy.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.